want to break into the system.
Someone without access to the exam.
I have been doing a little hacking in here, as a matter of fact.
Computers and the programs will start thinking, and the people will stop.
I still don't understand why you want to break into the system.
Because, man, somewhere in one of these memories is the evidence. If I got in for it, I could reconstruct it.
All right, everyone, welcome to the July 11th edition of the In and Out Show. Your host, Slip Mode, along with...
VR.
And...
Captain Alibaba.
Captain Alibaba in the house. Wow. We're actually doing the show on July 16th, but I didn't discuss... I'm not going to be discussing any of the new news that's come out.
So we're actually going to be not quite in the now, but kind of in the late.
We were in the current, recent current... you know, we've had a lot of stuff going on. Me and Captain Alibaba now actually live in the same abode, and
it's quite a delightful, actually, hole in the wall.
Yeah, because we put a hole in the wall to peek at our neighbors. No, yeah, we've done some moving. We've done quite a few things.
Puts a whole new spin on spyware.
Yeah, I got back from the Hope Conference. And that was very interesting, very fun conference to go to. Did a lot of things, met a lot of people, did my talk on Hacker Radio, which actually went pretty well. I got a large response out of that. Found out there's some people out there that do Hacker Radio now. Are kind of, they heard the talk and now are kind of rejuvenated to do it even better, is what they said, because they didn't know that there was such a need for it. Didn't know there was that many people out there doing it. So that was great. Got a picture with Kevin Mitnick. We happened to be wearing the same shirt that day. Let's see, met up with Stank, met Not Theory, Epiphany, Automatic Jack. There's so many people that were down at the con. Rax was down there. Who else? X-Logic, Duel, of course. Few people. Tried to run into Decoder. Didn't get a chance to do that. I left a little bit earlier than he came out. He came down around Sunday to say hi to everyone, but I had already left the country. No, left New York, but the con was great, and you can go ahead and check out the two-hour episode of Off the Hook on the 2600 website to hear lots of information about it. I think it was their July 10th edition, their two-hour special. Okay, well, we have a lot of information here, a lot of... Big Brother technology creeping into your homes and taking over things and all sorts of other interesting stuff. You know, actually, one of the things at the con that was kind of scary was the effigy of Hitler on these large posters behind the podiums. Yeah, I kept saying like podunk in my head over and over every time. Behind the podiums, and it was it said Big Brother's watching you. And I'm a white guy, it's part German, with a shaved head, and I'm wearing my little Hope armband. And I actually did my talk a little bit to the, depending on where you're facing, to my left of the Hitler effigy there. That was quite scary.
Damn liberal.
Doesn't make me a liberal. It makes me not look like a skinhead on the Hope videos.
To the left.
Oh, standing to the left.
Yeah, he leans to the left, yeah.
And then also, what else? Yeah, Stank did his talk like that, too. I was up till 7 in the morning on Saturday. I was the last human being to leave the second floor that I could see around me, which was like the knock area, the network area. And working on my presentation with Stank for pretty much the whole night, pounding a few beers, actually, and working on PowerPoint on Linux.
Presentations always sound better after a few beers.
Well, that's what I actually wanted to loosen up to get some more ideas.
A lot of things sound better after a few beers.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, I might as well mention this, too. I went to, there was a talk about Hacker Havens, which are like, I think the original Hacker Haven was the Loft. And that was a lot of people that came from Loft moved on to, you know, known places and are still out there in the community now doing things and also security focused, stuff like that. And there is a Hacker Haven. Well, Hacker Havens are a place for hackers to go and just do their thing. And there's a network set up and you can do whatever you want. The Hacker Halfway House is one of the Hacker Havens in the Bronx in New York. And actually, I was over there Saturday night for a party. Moved to the roof, too, for a roof party. And it's pretty interesting. All I could do think about was Escape from New York, where everyone's locked on to Manhattan as prisoners. And they just run rampant. And it was just kind of a looked like a bad neighborhood as far as like being old. I don't know about the crime. And we're standing on top of this like old ass building, and you know, it was just an interesting scenery environment. All right, okay, moving along here. Well, Delta is to invest in radio tags for luggages at airports.
RFID tags.
RFID tags.
That should be really good for lost luggage.
That's exactly why they're doing it. Delta Airlines said yesterday, which is back in July, or the end of June, actually, that a plan to use disposable radio tags to track all luggage it handles at domestic airports. Airline, which is based in Atlanta, said it would have to invest up $25 million to deploy the necessary hardware and software throughout its operations. I won't read the whole article. Basically, they actually spend about $100 million each year annually to deliver lost luggage. Out of 80 million bags that they carry a year, there are a little bit fewer than a million that just don't make it to their final destination.
Will they be removing these RFID tags after they leave the airport?
You know what?
Or will they be able to track your luggage when you go home?
Well, they're more than likely in the little slip that they string onto your luggage. Let's say what airport you're from and all that.
That could actually be an issue. I know a lot of people who actually have a superstition where they refuse to remove those little tags, and they keep them all because they think it's bad luck to remove them.
You know.
Well, then they'll actually develop a new superstition that it will be bad luck to not remove them because they will lose their luggage.
Yeah.
And so it will train them in the proper methodology of removing the tags.
Yeah, you know, actually, I just watched a Discovery Channel special today on, spy techniques and all sorts of stuff. And back in, the 60s, 70s, even, like, the 50s, they had some insane stuff. Actually, I mean, even back in the 40s, just some of the stuff that they did, they had little devices that clamped onto the rebar of cement buildings in the blocks, clamped onto the rebar, ran off of what they called a concrete battery that would never run out of power. By the vibrations of the rebar, they were able to pick up conversations.
Yeah.
And all sorts of stuff that was insane, you know, unlimited never-dying power supplies. There was even a device made by the Americans that would drill 1/100th of an inch, stop, pull the drill back out, rotate, put the mic in, listen. If it didn't hear anything, it would pull back or rotate, drill another 1/100th of an inch, and keep doing that until it could finally hear audio.
Wow. Well, see, what I've been thinking about for a
while. This is old stuff that now can be talked about. Who knows what they have now?
Yeah, see, I'm amazed that it's not that there's not a little device that you can actually shoot a laser onto somebody's window and pick up audio from. Why have I not seen that in the stores? That should be like commercial product by now.
What they did was they wanted to get the beam to come back. So what they did in these windows, these plates of windows, when the Russian embassy was built here, in, I think it was Washington, we had gotten glass to be put in there that had mini prisms.
Huh.
And it would shoot the prism, and the prism's like, you know, kind of like a triangle, right?
Yeah.
It would hit one side, bounce, come back to you. And they were able to listen to conversations off the windows. And the real tiny ones.
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing the stuff that they had. It was funny because this whole thing was talking about there was an embassy that was built in Russia, U.S. embassy, and I believe it was Russia, and we had Russian subcontractors build portions of it off-site and then bring it in. The building was so contaminated, we never moved in that building.
That's funny.
Yeah, we never moved in the building. Just left it the way it was. I forget, there was the seal of the United States. It was a wooden hand-carved thing, and behind it they had this device that didn't emit a radio frequency. It did eventually, but it only turned on at certain times. And it didn't have its own power supply or anything like that. I think the radio, the equipment that would use to say, like, would send out a radio signal, and that would power it.
Oh, that would charge it, yeah.
And then send the signal back. And this is just age old stuff, you know, tens of years ago. And you know, forget Will Smith's movie. What was that one?
Wild West.
Enemy of the State.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you know.
Well,
Wild West. That movie. There's nothing true in that movie, VR.
Well, yeah, but no. What I was kind of getting at is he had all kinds of just miraculous little gadgets way back in the 1800s.
Just because President Grant was able to cover up the existence of a giant tarantula doesn't mean that it didn't actually exist.
Yeah.
It's entirely possible there was a huge, giant metal tarantula.
Yeah, we're trying to help Captain Alibaba out here on the microphone. It's a little tricky. It's
he's actually got to talk to the side of the microphone.
Yeah.
Side.
Is this better?
A little bit. It's all right.
A microphone challenge.
There you go. Even
is that better?
Yeah, because you want to talk more. You're talking more back here. Talk a little bit more up here, but it's this side.
All right.
A little bit more. All right, okay. That's good. We're still doing the whole funky mic thing.
Funky mic thing.
Yeah, see that? Got it.
Gotta be all kill. Down with it.
Yeah, I had to borrow this mic and bring it back tomorrow, actually.
What, tomorrow?
I gotta bring that back tomorrow.
Right on.
Yeah, we gotta get our own mics. Well, I do have a mic. I've got everything from me, but
well, that's because you're financially not challenged as well as we are.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to spring for any more mics right now. Okay, moving on here. Oh, yeah, of course.
And you know, the best thing that I found to do for lunch is you listen to the radio, listen for dealership ads that they get. You know, they're saying, hey, we got some free pizza down here if you come and take a test drive.
Oh, yeah.
I am so there. And then I say, you know what, I'd love to, you know, take the test drive. And, you know, I'm like, hey, where's my free food? And they're like, well, what do we have to do to get you in the car? And I'm like, I'm unemployed. I have a credit rating of like 0.1. If you want to get me in a car today, that's your issue, but you're going to get it back tomorrow.
Yeah. Right now, I'm looking at that pizza over there. Oh, man. Well, more about RFID. Japanese school kids are going to be tagged with the RFID tags.
Every single student?
No. Japanese authorities decided tracking is the best way to protect kids' rights and wrongs.
The troublemakers are going to get it, aren't they?
I would have gotten one of those then. The rights and wrongs of using radio frequency identification tags on humans have been debated since the tracking tags reached the technological mainstream. Since they have been available. Now school authorities in Japanese city of Osaka have decided that the benefits outweigh the disadvantages and will now be chipping children in one primary school. Basically, those tags will be read by school gates and other locations. The chips will be put into kids' school bags, name tags, clothing in one Wakayama Prefecture school. Denmark's Legoland introduced a similar scheme last month to stop young children from going astray. What happened to good parenting? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, what really sucks is, like, I think ditching and, like, getting away with stuff like that is just a rite of passage of being young and testing authority, and when you have to, yeah, I'm getting there. And so what really does that say to our young, that, you know, we can't really handle you, but we've developed tools to track you and to do whatever, you know, figure out whatever you're doing wrong, and then we're going to punish you that way. I think that's not the best image lesson that we need to teach the young.
Forget the RFID tags. Whatever happened to those little leashes that people used to put on their kids?
Yeah, that was ridiculous. That was terrible.
My sister used to walk around on one of those leashes when we went to the zoo.
Really?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Did they ever, like, yank them releasing?
Oh, yeah.
Like I've seen what they do with dogs. Get over here!
She'd be like, ooh, monkeys, and my mom would be like, no,
dude,
no monkeys.
Dude, they use the crap out of dogs. I see them, they're all like, boom, like, get over there. Dog's like, all right.
That's how they train them, dude. They're not smart. They only learn by pain.
That's not true.
Well, you can say the exact same thing about human beings.
Yeah, or anything else, you know. It's like, ow, maybe not do that again. Okay. All right. Well, the FCC is going to require broadcasters to retain copies of broadcasts for up to 60 to 90 days.
Oh, man. Think about the
storage costs.
Yeah.
Today, back in July 7th, the federal, and this is funny, this article was on, was it Tech, the Courante, Tech News Filtered Daily. I've never seen this done in an article. They actually have today the Federal Censorship, and it's crossed out Communications Commission. Federal Censorship Commission.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, it's, take a look at that right there.
Let's see, where is that?
Right there, first sentence.
Oh, that's...
That's funny.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That brings a warm, fuzzy feeling.
Yeah, that, I mean, it, I don't know. Announced through a notice of proposed rulemaking that it will likely be required for all broadcasters to retain copies of their broadcasts for 69 days in order to better combat indecent broadcasts.
Yeah, and if no one complained that day, I think it should be okay.
Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing, is that, sort of reading the whole article, is that in order, there's people that call in and say, like, hey, there's something I heard on the radio, right? And it upset me. Well, when somebody sends a complaint, he or she usually is told to supply a recording of the program or a transcript. Basically, the policy ignores that the commission's responsibility to investigate complaints that the law has been violated is not the citizen's responsibility to prove the violations. So basically, they're saying that, you know, well, they want to go and refer to these guys' tapes. You know, the whole thing, though, is a little ridiculous. I'm going to talk about something else that's kind of a follow-up and a little different thing that has to do, you know, with the First Amendment, freedom of speech, when it comes to do with porn, actually, that a law didn't get passed.
Ooh.
Because it would have affected. Would have affected some freedom of speech stuff. Which is funny, though, because, and this, you know, how the FCC is really cracking down, it's really hard to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's freedom of speech, but it depends on what you say, what you do, and what you talk about.
Yeah, what medium you're under.
So you're not able to express those kinds of things. So, yeah, this is basically covering that. They want to improve their complaint process and better enforce our existing standards by requiring broadcasters to obtain recordings. Okay, well, you know, and doing all that crap, people have heard the radio forever, you know, just turn on cable for a moment. You get to see a lot of good stuff on there you might not want to have your kids see.
Yeah, like radio, there are, you know, certain channels, you know, certain stations that you know what they're going to be, what kind of stuff they're going to talk about or whatnot.
Yeah.
And so, be your own censor. Don't tune on to that station. That's the best choice.
The thing about cable, though, cable, you pay for cable. Even though it's like a public thing, you still pay for it, and you're consenting to view it just by paying for it.
Yeah, but the FCC actually covers stuff on television, too.
Oh, I know, but it's still, it's a little different than radio. Because, like, radio's out there for everybody. Any kid who's given a radio, which most people are, can go out and listen to something that's bad on the radio. But cable, your parents have to buy you cable, they have to give you cable in your room, or they watch you while you watch cable out in the living room, or they let you watch it by yourself. It's up to the parents.
So why doesn't Howard Stern just say all the words he wants to say, and if you're listening to AM radio or FM radio, they bleep it out, but if you're listening to XM radio, you can hear the cuss words.
Because you pay for XM radio.
But I'm saying they don't do that.
They don't do that?
No, they don't.
Probably just in each of broadcasts. Honestly, I don't know that much about XM, but they should do that. I think that would be cool.
You have something to say, VR?
Yeah, because it's just the same thing as, you know, if the parents choose to let the kid watch cable, you know, on their own, it's the same thing as letting them listen to the radio on their own. Because they have control over both.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
so
I
that argument
saying
doesn't hold much weight.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's just that, you know, it's not going to affect me personally, but I mean, just the, if I was a broadcasting station, I'd be a little bit upset that I would have to now incur all this extra cost,
yeah,
to maintain all this stuff, you know. And then who's I don't know, maybe they're going to put on more advertisements, or, you know, charge advertisements.
Well, and that puts a whole lot more stress on the DJs as well.
As far as
that, it's not.
Oh, yeah, they want to watch themselves big time.
Oh, they're going to become a whole lot more stressed about what they say and how they say it. And if they slip up, oh, man, that's, they're probably going to get fined and have a hard time.
Yeah. Wow.
Which they're only human.
Okay, Supreme Court strikes down porn shield law. The Supreme Court ruled Tuesday, which is back on June 29th, that a law meant to punish pornographers who peddle dirty pictures to web-surfing kids is probably an unconstitutional muzzle on free speech. Luckily, these guys get all the free speech breaks, huh?
Right on.
The court divided 5-4 on a law passed in 1998, signed that by then-President Clinton, is now backed by the Bush administration. The majority said in a lower court that that was correct to block the law from taking effect because it likely violates the First Amendment. And considering, and honestly, I've not read the law, so there may be things in there. But what I do support is they need to get something that covers this area. And considering the issue a third time, the court did not end a long fight. However, the majority voted to send the case back to a lower court for a trial that could give the government a chance to prove that the law does not go too far.
Well, I think just the easy fix of it all is to make everything that's, you know, like, remotely sexual explicit have to be on a URL for, you know, like a .xxx or .sex, and then anything that, you know, has a link to that just has an instant block if you're on it, like if you're under 18 or not.
Then we can all get internet IDs. Huh?
They actually did come out with something like that. There was a domain suffix that they came out with, I think, about a year or two ago for pornographic websites. It never happened, though.
Yeah, I remember they proposed it to be a top of the domain. It was .sex. Actually, we talked about it.
Yeah, I believe we did.
The ACLU and other critics of the anti-pornography law said that it would restrict far too much material that adults may legally see and buy. We're very pleased with the decision, ACLU lawyer Ann Beeson said. Ann Beeson, I think I've seen her in a video. No, I'm just joking. The status quo is still with us. And the court made it safe for artists, sex educators, and web publishers to communicate with adults without risking jail time. Beeson said that after repeated losses in court, the government may choose to drop any further defense of the law. There is no immediate word from the Bush administration. The law, which never took effect, which would authorize fines up to $50,000 for a crime of placing material that is harmful to minors within the easy reach of children on the Internet. The law also have required adults to use access codes and any other ways of registering before they could see objectionable material online. For now, the law is known as the Child Online Protection Act, would sweep with too broad a brush, Kennedy wrote. There is a potential for extraordinary harm and serious chill upon protected speech if the law took effect, he said. Kennedy said that the filtering software is not a perfect solution to the problem of children getting access to harmful to minor materials. So far, he added, the government has failed to prove that the technologies would work better.
You know, it's really strange just hearing the word harmful to minors. It is, I remember when I was a minor, the most harmful thing was homework. And that was the most thing I objected to. It's like, oh, no, I'm not going to do my homework. Well, what do you know? I just objected to it.
Well,
so that should be freaking illegal to be, you know, to view over the Internet.
To view homework?
Yes. To get your homework,
to get your homework, to do your homework, anything school-related that the average minor would object to. You know, but if you really think about it, most minors, given the exposure to the porn or anything that adults or parents might think objectionable to minors, they actually would get very excited about it and go, woo!
And then probably what? Get pregnant at the age of 12 because it looks
really
neat?
Well, you know, they already do anyway.
So just support it.
No, actually, I think there needs to be a completely different route of, you know, like actually, oh, birth control in the water.
Birth control in the water?
Yeah.
So how would you know, would you have a separate unbirth control supply for people that are old enough that don't need it?
No, that's when you have a boy's drinking fountain and a girl's drinking fountain. It's segregation all over again.
Actually, just what you're talking about is that they can buy bottled water.
I'm glad that VR is not in a position of power.
Well, like, if you can afford to buy bottled water, you might be able to afford to have any kid.
Do you have, like, a cousin that owns a bottled water company? Is that what this push is for?
Okay, It's past my bedtime. I have to go to sleep because I have to work very early in the morning at like noon. So I will see you guys later.
Word. Thanks for being on the show.
Later, Captain.
Yeah, Captain's always here now, so we can even bug. Actually, when Captain goes to sleep, we're going to play a prank on him, and we're going to get it all on the show. No.
Yeah, actually, we're going to have some video later, and it'll be great.
You're going to take your chair? Okay.
Oh, I was going to steal. I was going to steal your chair. Look, cool. I'm very happy now. I'll wheel it over there.
Yeah. But we don't need the blow-up doll. Thank you. Okay.
Freak.
Yeah. Yeah, they
and he has the audacity to call me weird.
Actually, I hear comments from people that listen to the show that think VR is a little kooky.
I think I am absolutely positively sane and grounded in a person.
Intellectually and spiritually.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Here, let's move on. Look at all this news, VR.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to do another show.
All right. Well, this is a really quick one. You don't have to worry about Jack Valencia anymore. It's going to be now Dan Glickman for the MPAA's new chief.
Wow.
So look out for Dan Glickman in your email boxes for all you people out there that are just hurting the industry.
And click delete and then run.
Add them to a blacklist. Okay. Oh, here's... I don't know how funny or how serious I should take this article or not. Small metallic fibers known as zinc whiskers are the likely culprit behind the crippling computer outages in the Colorado Secretary of State's office over the past 3 weeks.
Oh, so they're floating around in the air. They short stuff out.
Yeah.
Now that is probably terrorism.
You think?
So
there's some guy in there with a doo-doo hat with some zinc whiskers in there, and he just takes it out and blows it in the offices.
Well, see, what's interesting is, one of the biggest things that they used for back in the 50s to thwart radar was that they would have a bomber come by, fly down, and, during World War II, whatever, if you were a smoker, the thing to open up the cigarette pack actually went from being metal to string because they were using all the extra aluminum to dump over the area which would disrupt the radar.
Yeah.
It was the same kind of thing, the same tactic of use this very small metal thing that's airborne to disrupt stuff.
Yeah, now this could happen. I mean, you could have stuff get in there, right? But you got to hear it out. It makes it sound like, I mean, I think they even devoted some money to clean them all up and doing this whole thing.
Well, they would think so. It would probably be pretty costly.
Fibers are blowing out the power supplies on the computer, said Lisa Doran, a spokesman for the agency. Metal on the floor panels in the computer cases can secrete zinc crystals over time. Let me just get to the end here. Basically, the outages in the Secretary of State's office, which effectively halted electronic filings of businesses and electronic documents at www.sos.state.co.us, highlight why the state's various websites should be brought down or should be brought under one authority. This is all a political move.
Oh, yeah.
Said Leroy Williams,
that's
the state Secretary
right
of
there.
Technology. Legislation this year enabled this creation of such an authority, which was financed with $7.5 million of the Direction of Government Bill Owens. The Secretary of State Office has begun working on a remediation plan to clean up the whiskers, Doran said. I mean, that's...
Wait, so it's actually like a faulty manufacturing of the power supply that was throwing out these...
There's probably Dells or Compacts, I mean...
So it was probably some, like contaminant that was left in there that blew around the office and shorted stuff out.
Or maybe it's a lot of crap. and they made it sound like it's just rampant and it's just taking everything down. I think running an operating system like Windows or spam would be a much more prevalent thing to worry about than zinc wafers or whiskers.
Yeah, I've never heard of them before, but I can definitely see that they could do some damage, but it only seems to have been in their office.
Yep. Well, CERT had released an advisory about basically that Microsoft's Internet Explorer web browser has significant vulnerabilities.
Wow.
And it said that it suggests users of Microsoft Internet Explorer, they should just switch to another web browser.
Brilliant.
After the cert advisory, basically the downloads for Mozilla and Firefox doubled. It went from 100,000 or so downloads on a normal day to more than 200,000.
Wow, so more than doubled.
Yeah, I use Firefox. It's really good. Here's a bit of article about Google stole Orkut code. A small social networking software company has filed suit against Google, claiming that much of the source code behind Orkut.com, the search engine's popular social service, was stolen by a former engineer. In its lawsuit, Affinity Engines, based in Palo Alto, California, said the engineer Orkut Vyakakonten, something like that, illegally took the code that he had written for the company, which he founded with him when he joined Google. Affinity Engines also claimed that Vyakakonten promised Affinity Engines that he would not develop a competing social service network service for Google. Affinity Engines, which filed a claim on May 25th in Santa Clara court. Google comes back. In the investigation, Affinity Engines basically uncovered a total of 9 unique software bugs. Some of the text found in similar features on Orkut.com and Affinity's engine social networking products were very much the same. Google has said, for the most part, that it's shrugging off Affinity's engine's allegations. Affinity Engines has not provided any evidence to Google that their source code was used in the development of Orkut.com. The company... Oh, that's something else. We repeatedly offered to allow a neutral expert to compare the codes in the two programs and evaluate Affinity's claims, but Affinity has rejected that offer. We have investigated the claims thoroughly and have concluded that the allegations are without merit. And also, Google is going to be doing an IPO here pretty soon, so maybe they're in it for the money, maybe the code got stolen.
Or it sounds kind of like SCO.
Oh, yeah. Just getting some money from somebody else.
Trying.
And basically, there's so much information I really want to share it. So if I'm moving fast, because I'm telling a lot of good stuff out there, and I want to get it out to you.
So just slow your download speed down a little bit, and it'll sound much nicer.
Yeah, just change the sampling rate.
Yeah.
And you'll be ready. Okay, well, basically, Comcast looks to stop the spam coming from its network. Over 800 million messages a day come from them. That's spam. Comcast engineers plan to try the innovative approach of identifying the zombie PCs that are out there running with all this spyware crap on it, and superstitiously sending these subscribers' cable modem a new configuration routine that prevents outbound connections on port 25. Zombie-infected users won't even notice, the thinking goes, because most people use Comcast mail service for outgoing email. Anyone wrongfully blocked can call and complain. 800 million.
That's amazing.
You know, after we did the show, actually, the Hacker Radio speech, we actually did the Radio Freak America 76th episode, the missing episode that they had, and Captain Crunch came down. And
Captain Crunch.
I was sitting there, and we were all sitting with Captain Crunch for about an hour.
Wow. That would have been amazing.
Yeah. He was telling a lot of his stories. And me and Duel explained to Captain Crunch what Bukkake was. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I would have loved to see his face.
Duel's wife stands up and gets the mic and says, despite what everyone thinks, Duel does not get Bukkake at home. And then Captain Crunch goes, what's Bukkake? And on the freak notebook that Duel has, you got a little picture of this Asian girl covered in Bukkake.
Wow.
And so I showed him the picture of Bukkake, and then Duel's giving him the explanation, and he's just like, gives this, like, you know, look on his face like, you're bad.
Right on.
And moved on. So, I mean, that guy's actually pretty old.
Well, yeah, he's been around for...
I brought that up because he actually had a whole talk on some spam filtering stuff that he's doing, some stuff he's come up with, and some of the things he's done to hunt them down and... stuff like that. So he had a really good talk. That guy's, I mean, heavily in the scene of things.
And that's amazing that he still is.
Yeah.
That really says something about him as a human being. Yeah, well, how well he's able to adapt and change the times.
You know, that conference was so cool because I saw Mitnick. I mean, I've seen him before, actually. I've had him say, he signed my DEF CON badge, which is neat. Steve Wozniak.
That's cool.
I was so tired, I missed his speech. I showed up just after it was done. I heard he gave the best speech out of everyone. But hopefully I heard...
Well, of course, because that's like half of what his job was before.
Well, yeah. Rex was filming down there and doing the video crew, and I guess the video crew and everything was done really well this year, and they should be getting the videos up a lot faster. So I really hope to go and grab that and download it. And of course, yeah, Captain Crunch, just so many people there. It was great. I was scared about kind of all the banners and stuff that they had.
I think the armbands are actually pretty cool. They're really kind of hard hitting.
Yeah, they were really annoying to wear. A lot of people were like doing whatever they could to put them on and not deal with them. A lot of people.
Maybe they need to like also add a clothespin on a safety pin on it, so you can pin it up on your shoulder.
It would have been good. Basically, the Hubble telescope has made discovery as many as 100 new planets orbiting stars in our galaxy.
Ooh.
Hubble's harvest comes from a sweep of thousands of stars in the dome-like bulge of the Milky Way, confirmed it would almost double the number of planets known to be circling other stars to about 230. The discovery will lend support to the idea that almost every sun-like star in our galaxy and probably the universe is accompanied by planets. Stephen Beckwith, director of the Space Technology or Telescope Science Institute, told BBC News Online, "I think this work has the potential to be the most significant advance in discovering extrasolar planetary systems since the first planets were discovered in the mid-1990s.
Wow.
I think the science community and the astronomy community is pumping out a lot of good articles about the Hubble to try to get it repaired.
Because of Bushy Boy that is going to degrade here fairly soon. Which is more important about actually, like, understanding our universe or protecting ourselves against an unknown, unforeseen, you know, fictitious paranoia, you know, threat?
I don't have a very good outlook on the next 4 years. I don't care who gets in office.
They are definitely going to be very interesting times.
Yeah, it's
because if we continue to have, you know, like a warmonger like Bush, we're going to continue doing, you know, having a complete world war. Or if we get somebody who wants to handle it from a more political and economic system, well, then we're still going to have some interesting political and economic times.
Yeah, well, Kerry voted to go to war.
Well, so did everybody else.
Yeah, and then he didn't really want to vote.
But in those situations... is if you don't vote, you know, there was like, you know, one person that didn't vote against, you know, that voted against it, and they've been pretty much politically blackballed.
Yeah, it's pretty strange. I think after these 4 years, the American public is going to just say, I'm sick of all of it.
Time for a revolution. Yeah, let's restate everything to the Constitution again and... you know, throw out a bunch of laws. Let's actually find stuff that works again. That'd be great.
But
power to the proletariat.
You know what's going to make that hard to do is with technology like this. That's going to be watching your movement.
Good transition there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm bringing in the fear factor, and we are going to be selling slip T-shirts or pretty soon here. No, I'm just joking. Fear and then buy. Yeah, I would like to update the website. I've been talking about that for a while. I've got so many things going on. I want to make it more of a community stuff. Just some more stuff to put up there. You know, Slip is kind of slow on I think pipping the show and doing some stuff like that. Just because I'm so busy and I enjoy doing the show, and also I figure that. Bless you. I don't like to do a lot of self-promotion. That's another thing that I'm not really into.
Yeah, you should hear him when he doesn't have the mic.
That's not true. Come on, that's not true.
I'm giving you a hard time.
I was really excited about doing the show, the Hacker Radio Talk, and at the conference, stuff like that. And a lot of people are involved in doing things like that, and I turned my thought process to more of thinking that, well, I'm not really, like, self-promoting myself or anything like that, because the show is really, you hear that half the time, DR's talking, you know, or any other guest that's on here. They get the mic as much as they want. I really feel like I'd like to do a few more things to get out there. But we also have always had the email, and the forums. Fortunately, we get very few posts.
I know. I'm really disappointed. I've posed quite a few queries and no responses.
You haven't posted anything.
No, on the show.
Oh, yeah. Like that. I haven't emailed it. And yet, we do have listeners. We do have quite a few listeners out there. And I even have gotten lots of compliments saying, "Hey, Slip, you know, we enjoy your show, and it's one of my it's either my favorite show or it's one of my favorite shows." I don't know. We're gonna see what we can do. Do some more pimping of the show. Basically, just getting more out. Do some more sharing, and I might redesign the site and get a few get some more support of other local people in there. I do have people in there in the link section, stuff like that. But it's kind of buried, and put some of their buttons and stuff on the.
It would
the
be
page.
Fun to have a call-in show, at least one every once in a while.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could. I mean, we've done that before, and we could do that again. I actually have found a place where I can get a decent speakerphone. I tried to buy a speakerphone before, and it was just crap. To get a decent speakerphone and to do more stuff like that. So,
right.
I mean, I know we could definitely do that pretty easily. So, all right. But getting very fearful right here. This kind of reminds me of this one movie I saw where they had these weapons where they could see through walls and see what you look like 3D.
Ooh.
Yeah. An Israeli firm has developed a breakthrough technology that can see through walls. The World Net Daily has learned.
They learned it.
Yep.
World Net Daily.
They've learned it. Camaro, a small company based in Herzliya, I know I didn't say that right.
It's all right.
Israel has developed a radar system that uses ultra-wideband technology to produce three-dimensional pictures of the space behind a wall from a distance of up to 20 meters. The pictures were reportedly resemble those produced by ultrasound, are relatively high resolution, and are produced in real time.
Wow. That, I can really see some major military implications for that.
The device has important military and rescue implementations. It can be used by troops to get a visual of the inside of a room, providing such crucial information as the number and location of each individual, of the kinds of weapons in any, and the kinds of weapons in any given room. The company was born of urgent operational needs. When disaster victims must be rescued from a collapsing building or in a fire, time is of the essence. So now they're throwing in the whole humanitarian.
Which is actually slim to none, because if it's a collapsing building, then it would be really great for avalanche victims, but also then it can be turned around and used from police standpoint of, wow, they can actually search your home from outside of it and not need a search warrant.
And using the Patriot Act, that would actually be illegal.
Yeah.
It's great. That's why I recommend everyone to Google the website. I forget its name. I think it's called tinfoilhat.com.
Tinfoilhat.com.
I think that's it. Or just Google up how to make a tinfoil hat. And if you wear that, the In and Out sponsors it indefinitely. If you wear that, then you're going to be safe from most of the kinds of communication and Big Brotherism that we've been talking about in the show.
And people think I'm a little weird.
Yeah, well, they know my sarcasm is sarcasm. Yours actually like really sound serious about it. You know what? The guy that does textfiles.com, he actually saw on my talk on Hacker Radio that you can go to audio.textfiles.com and enjoy many other shows. And he's like, thanks for the free plug. So.
Free plugs are good.
Yeah.
Especially, well, that's different.
Oh, you were going to go off. Okay. Yeah. It's not hard to figure out where VR's mind is wandering. Basically, there was a teen arrested in alleged effort to bootleg Spider-Man 2.
Oh, no.
A 16-year-old was arrested early Wednesday, which was back on late June, in a theater showing Spider-Man 2 after a projectionist using night vision goggles saw him using a camcorder to make an illegal copy of a superhero sequel. The teen could be charged under law that could be effective January 1st and makes taking a recording device into a movie theater a crime punishable by up to 1 year in jail and a maximum fine of $2,500. Yeah, he would be much more beneficial to society losing out a year of high school and paying and his parents paying part of his college tuition.
Actually, it's like total college fund.
Yeah. The Los Angeles District Attorney's Office is expecting to review the case and determine whether to charge the teen who was released into his parents' custody. The film industry's trade group hailed the arrest of the credit as a recent initiative to offer cash awards up to $500 to theater employees who turn in moviegoers attempting to make illicit film copies.
Oh, dude, that would be, you know, enough for me to go out and get some night vision goggles, being a projectionist.
Do you think if you went to, like, a porn film place and you actually brought in a camcorder, do you think?
I don't think they really care.
Yeah, they wouldn't sue. No.
Yeah.
If it's smut, good. If it's Spider-Man, you're going to jail, 16-year-old man. You know, and actually...
You know, what if he was taping it for, like, you know, his, you know, you know, his, in, you know, his immobile little brother or, you know, something or other that couldn't get to the movie theater but wanted to talk about it with his friends and...
Oh, come on!
It was supposed to be something just really simple and easy so little Johnny could... You know, feel a part of the family and see the movie.
We could talk about Captain Alibaba's, Alibaba's ideas about renting videos and copying them. His theory on the legalities of that. A BHO scanning tool and new scam targets bank customers. BHO, which is Browser Helper Objects. Okay, kind of like the stuff that. You can utilize that for your spyware crap and stuff like that. A BHO daemon is a free tool that will list all browser helper objects that are installed on Windows system by scanning the registry and giving you the ability to disable them. This will also list good BHOs as well as nevertheless a useful tool in detecting and disabling malicious software. You can get it at definitivesolutions.com/BHODaemon.htm. And basically, they're talking about new scam targets bank customers. Basically, it's talking about an exploit in Internet Explorer that downloads a GIF and it downloads a file that says it's a GIF, but it's a file is not a graphic file at all. It actually is a executable file compressed inside of. Okay, yeah. Basically, there's a lot of details.
It's like a Fourier analysis for your...
Well, no, it's actually the file you're downloading is an open source executable compressor UPX file. Well, it's compressed using that, and then actually it decompresses into... there's a lot of details there. I can go over and read it, but basically all it does is it searches for HTTPS, basically secure access over the Internet, to URLs of several dozen banking and financial sites in multiple countries.
Hmm.
So it wants to watch that, and then it tracks that information and then sends it off to a website.
Hmm.
So
it's probably actually managed by the Fed, and they're trying to actually, you know, track and get and use it as a new tool of how to raise or lower interest rates.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they go along with the CERT advisory and just pick another browser. Porn can be surfed just as well through Firefox and Mozilla as it is in Internet Explorer. You just got to make sure that you open up something else other than Windows Media Player as your client.
Client.
For watching video, I guess.
Oh, okay.
If it's streaming, I guess you can consider it a client. Okay, join the Digital Television Liberation Front. Basically, I'll just read it like this. Today, you can use any device you like with your television, VCR, TiVo, DVD recorder, home theater receiver, or a PC combining these functions and more. A year from now, the FCC broadcast flag mandates take effect. Some of the capabilities will be forbidden. Responding to pressure from Hollywood, the FCC has adopted a rule requiring future digital television tuners to include content protection, a.k.a. DRM technologies. Starting next year, all makers of HDTV recorder or receivers will build their devices to watch for broadcast flag embedded in programs by copyright holders. When it comes to digital recording, it will be Hollywood's DRM way or the highway. Want to burn the recording digitally to a DVD and save hard drive space? Sorry, the DRM lockbox won't allow it. How about sending it over your home network to another TV? Not unless you rip out your existing network and replace it with DRMD routers. Kind of defeats the purpose of getting a high-definition signal, doesn't it? The good news is that this mandate doesn't take effect for another year. We have until July 1st, 2005 to buy, build, and sell fully compatible, non-flag-compliant HDTV receivers. Any receivers built now will remain functional under a flag regime, allowing consumers to continue their use without the need for a new additional equipment.
So I'd need to go out and buy a high-definition receiver
now. If you want it. Any devices made this year can be resold in the future. We at EFF want to do our part to advance the DTV transition and the public's rights to receive and manipulate DTV broadcasts with technologies they choose. We want to keep the right to time and space shift that the VCR has given us against Hollywood's protest. We want to keep the fair use rights that let us explore or excerpt clips from the press conferences or make our own daily show from the evening news. That's why we're encouraging people to buy HDTV tuners now and build multiple function receivers and recorders around them. Here's where you can help. The folks at PCHDTV.com made an HD-capable ATSC tuner card with Linux drivers. The Myth TV Project has built a terrific personal video recorder platform that gives a GNU Linux PC features like TiVo's Pause Live TV and Season Pass Recording. These are great for geeks and are looking for volunteers to help make the combination more accessible to the general public. There are also a number of alternatives for Windows and Macintosh computers that offer similar features. We still need volunteers to help make these products more accessible to other people. The broadcast flag, this is a little extra. Actually, that's quite a bit of reading, yeah. Basically, you can go to the EFF and check that out, and the other website's listed there. You know, on top of it, I just don't see them being able to control that. And I don't think they believe they can totally control it either, but it's just going to make it harder for consumers.
Yeah, it's just going to be another big hassle.
But you know what? It's definitely going to spawn...
If Hollywood really cared, if they really were more than, a little short-sighted, why are they encouraging, the digitalization of everything and DVDs and... all that. That's what I really don't understand.
Well, they're encouraging it because obviously it's more products you can put into your home that you can buy. And obviously the content nowadays is just putting everything together, audio, video, television, everything's just thrown together and in these devices, video games, and people want to be able to control that. Wireless is such a cool thing. Things going over the air, TV usually used to just come not from cable, but just over the air. And radio always comes from over the air. And, there's wireless internet, just goes over the air. And a lot of interesting things could be done with that. And then when VCRs came out, you could copy it. It was great. And consumers were really happy. But now, putting so much power into people's hands... with all this great media content, and they're afraid of people running rampant and having enough power to be able to do many things on their own, and it's hard to figure out how to target these people, I think, and there'll be all these subcultures because we have all these devices in our homes that allow us to do so many interesting things now.
Yeah, that one person could actually do a whole lot of damage to their industry. Being prolific enough with their distribution.
Do you really think it'd be a lot of damage? I don't think so.
It'd be pretty significant.
I think if there was a following, if there was a following of a tech magazine out there that said stuff and people were just doing it, and a big subculture coming out of these systems, which there have been plenty, and there have been plenty of little underground magazines and stuff like that, that have been busted for showing certain information, but I don't know. It's just that's why we're here now, talking about it and these things because it's made things a lot more available to people by doing things like hacker radio and other means because there's of communication because there's just so many things going on. People should just be aware, and you should. We're always going to want to have as much control as we can, And when people come in and say, hey, you can't play with that because it affects our profit line, you know, for the most part, people are going to be like, well, screw you. You know, I really just want to do this.
Under every conflict, the underlying issue is power.
Yeah, it's all about power. I mean, and that's you know, going back and watching the show of all these bug devices and stuff like that and these innovative technologies and these batteries that just recharge themselves or ran forever or got power off of, like, natural things that are in the atmosphere. And, you know, that's just old stuff. I mean, it's so old it's able to be talked
about.
What I'm talking about is that there are so many things out there that are really interesting that if they got into the consumer's hands...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It would tip the balance of power.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't... people would be like, I've got so much cool crap here, I'm just going to do things my way, you know?
Yeah. Well, that you can also counteract what Big Brother's doing. Like, we could be monitored all the time already.
Oh, yeah.
Just whether or not we know about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I could... If Big Brother, I think, wanted to own me, I think it'd be pretty easy. Yeah, I don't think it'd have any problem in owning me. I've already broken a lot of things. I remember reading and having myself of all these awarenesses of things you don't want to do to get caught up in the system, like, you know, getting a credit card and all this stuff. And I've always when I was young, and then I'm getting it, I'm like, oh crap, got a credit card, I need it because my credit rating, you know,
yep.
I need that. Oh, you know. Buy stuff with my credit card, you know what I'm buying, you know, just, you know, stuff like that. It's just,
Then you have to have vehicle, and then...
Yeah, vehicle.
Oh, my.
Insurance.
Yeah, and you're on so many databases because of that.
Yeah, it's just, it's really tough. So, okay, well...
So it's either you go out and live, out in the wilderness, eating what you kill with your bare hands, or you buy in and sell out and tune in.
Yeah. Or you spend your life doing interesting, helpful things.
Or somewhere in the middle.
Okay, also, basically, Homeland Security, their readiness team.
Homeland Security Readiness Team.
You know, somebody told me this, maybe, because VR has a barrage of interesting things floating around his brain. Like how much feces a worm produces in a day. Actually, I don't know if he knows that, but he probably does.
It's about a pound and a half.
A pound and a half a day?
Yeah, it's pretty immense.
A worm?
Something like that. Might be an ounce and a half. Might just be changed to the decimal point.
That's quite a bit there. Okay.
I work on a heuristic memory system, all right?
Okay.
So you got to cut me some slack sometimes.
You know, someone told me that, and it's funny if she's going to listen to the show, because she knows about it. She said that the word homeland was used by Hitler.
That it was.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of funny. We're at the Hacker Halfway House, and we're on the roof, and there's these two guys that had to be feds or, you know, just someone that's kind of related to the government, and they're checking out the scene, getting in touch with the hackers, you know. And he was asking her, because she was pretty liberal, and he goes, well, what do you think about Homeland Security? And she goes, you know what? You know who used to use the word homeland? Hitler. And these guys were like, whoa.
What's really interesting is I actually heard, I forget what his name was, but he was a Pulitzer Prize winner writer that made his name during the Vietnam era. And what was really interesting is he talked about whenever a country, you know, like takes over another country, they essentially have an assimilation occur that goes both ways. And whenever you hate something, you essentially become it. And so, after an hour and a half of him talking and, laying down this beautiful, reason for how America is going to become half Nazi and half Muslim in the next few years. It's absolutely brilliant.
Hmm.
I wish I could remember more of it, but it was, just remember being like, wow, yeah, that's very prophetic. That it's going to happen, that we are going to become half Muslim and half Nazi.
I, from my personal views, I don't believe it. But others can believe it if they
like. I can definitely see how you can reject that very easily, but at the same time, looking at history, it's very, very possible.
According to you, There's many things that are possible.
There's almost, you know, given with the right resources and the right ability, almost everything is possible.
Actually, this is kind of an inside joke that me and VR are sharing, where you say, "I say, VR, do you want to hang out?" You
know, that's always a possibility.
It's always, and it is always a possibility. So he really does not give you any information by telling you that.
But see, at the same time, by you telling me, "Hey, you want to hang out?" Now I know how to behave in order to go, what course of events I need to set in place in order to make that better than just a possibility.
Yeah, you would piss anybody off that brought you in for questioning. I'll tell you that.
Well,
you thought, did you do it? No, it's a possibility.
Yes.
So you're saying you did? No.
No.
But it's a possibility.
You know, it depends on if that's the truth, but what is your truth versus my truth? Can you tell me what your truth is? Yeah, and then that's how these kinds of things go along.
Yeah. Yeah. You would piss so many people off. They bring all these people in the room one after one. They'd start roughing you up, you know.
Well, see, it's funny is I've actually been on a few interviews lately, and there are a lot of those questions where I'm like...
VR, what would you like to be in this? What would you like to be in this company?
Well, my first thought is president.
Yeah,
of course. You know, because I have vision, and you need it, so I want that position.
Yeah, and they're like, "Well, we have a box stocker, but you can work your way up."
I'm like, that sounds like a great possibility.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. So. So how would you handle a mad customer?
Well, that completely depends on the situation, whether or not I have access to a large blunt object or how mad they are.
Yeah, yeah. They have it's a pretty funny question. Hey, but the Homeland Department of Homeland Security says you might want to use a different browser than Internet Explorer. So I put that towards the end just to remind people.
Use a different browser.
Cert and our buddies at Homeland Security. Do you know they actually are putting the whole terror threat level system under questioning as to, is it really effective? And possibly coming up with something different. Here's KFYI, the local station here's idea of the different levels. They said it would be audio, and you play it in the background. So the lowered level would be like...
Yeah.
And then the aware level will be like, huh? And then, you know, it's like, you know, we don't want to be aware, but you're not sure.
Yeah.
And then, what was the...
It's like somebody told you something interesting, and you're like, huh?
Yeah, what was... what the heck was the next one?
I'm going to die!
It was something. What the heck was it? No, I'll tell you the severe warning. The third one was something like, I don't remember, it was funny, but let me move on. The severe one was Senator Dean going,
so that was pretty close.
Yeah, they said so, you know, if he didn't get to be president, but his contribution to the country would be, so the terror threat level today is, that guy, man, he did that, and everyone on the conservative side took him to town with that audio clip.
That's really sad that just that, you know, like that 1.5 seconds of, you know, of sound just killed him.
Yeah, it did. It really did. It made him look stupid. It's terrible.
Well, he also didn't, you know, he couldn't work very hard at thwarting that image as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. He did a few interesting things. Okay, well, basically, here's a patent from Microsoft that they have out there. It's basically, the patent is a method and system for clustering and grouping taskbar buttons.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's patent number 6,756,999.
Method. They have like a half a million.
Yeah. I won't read it, but yeah, it's basically application taskbar buttons. Have been owned by Microsoft. If you do it, be very fearful. ISPs don't have to pay tariffs to musicians. Musicians, the Supreme Court files. Basically, you know, like the phone company's got to pay tariffs for stuff.
Well, that's kind of whacked.
You know, there's always phone and phone tariffs for all sorts of crap. The Supreme Court of Canada, sorry, this is Canada, has ruled that the internet service providers do not have to pay tariffs to music artists simply because they provide the technology to get to the download sites.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's good freedom there. Yeah. Free liberty is good.
And wrapping things up here, second to the last story. Basically, this is something I read a little bit about. I'm trying to find out in here who is saying this. It says a state court. I don't remember. It doesn't really say which state, because this is a posted email on this bulletin board system.
Oh, then I won't believe it.
Well, it says there's been a temporary restraining order issued by state court that customers may take non-portable IP space with them when they leave their provider. Basically, this is if you have static IP, you can move it along with you to another provider.
That might be like the whole cell phone thing, too.
Kind of. I don't know if it's a good idea. It's really easy just to repoint your DNS, because you really want to keep the name, not the number.
Yeah.
This is a matter of great importance with the entire internet community.
It becomes like an internet ID number.
Yeah. This type of precedence is very dangerous. If this ruling is upheld, it has a potential to disrupt routing throughout the internet and change practices of businesses for any internet service provider. I doubt this thing will happen. It basically allows them to keep their static IP address. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, just the technology and stuff you have to implement in to make it happen is not, it's not really going to work out well.
And why does that really need to happen anyway?
I don't see a reason at all. Probably something someone put up there and it's going to be shut down.
Yeah.
Probably not even going to make it very far at all.
I have a hard time believing it.
And the European software patents policy is under siege. Paris, the adoption of the European Union law on software patents could be in doubt after accusations of missteps and mishaps during a May 18th meeting of the UE Competitiveness Council in Brussels. Officials in the in a number of European countries say that the votes cast by ministers during the meeting to hammer out political differences did not reflect the position of their governments. According to the accusations that the Dutch minister misinformed his national parliament about the directive status that a stand-in for the Danish minister was coerced into a yes vote, that the German minister accepted last-minute changes to amendments made by his own country that were contrary to the wishes of the government, and that the Polish government, which originally abstained, was not asked for its opinion when the final agreement was recorded. The political storm was, which was spread from to national parliaments in Germany and Denmark and provoked questions about the EU directive in Poland and Portugal in the latest twist in a bitter fight between large corporations with significant research investments and scores of patents and small and mid-sized software companies, academic institutions, and supporters of open-source software who oppose software patents. In what could be an unprecedented move, the Dutch parliament last week asked to change the yes vote that it cast at the May meeting to support making software patentable throughout the European Union. Motions have been introduced in parliaments in other countries, including Germany, to consider a change on their own votes. Now, there's been a huge amount of protesting going on over there on the other side of the world about the EU software patent stuff that they're trying to, law they're trying to get passed, because there's a major limitation of
growth and development.
Growth and development, and obviously keeps the companies in power. Now, of course...
I see just in some of the how much, you know, misvoting and misrepresentation that went on in that meeting is they really need to replace the chair and do some more, you know, make those meetings have to be longer, and it sounds like they're needing to do some fundamental infrastructural changes on how they hold that meeting.
You know, what could be a nice deep conspiracy theory here is, and this is a way that people could make money, but then not actually... Okay, what could have been done is that some large corporation sponsored this.
Yeah.
And some people in power were like, okay. But in the end, they're like, we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
We're just going to get a paycheck. And maybe that could have happened.
Yeah, that really could have.
It's really funny because when you get into larger schemes of things where people have power and the ability to do stuff, nothing is clear, cut, and dry. Nothing is what it seems. And even if it seems what it seems, it may be that way, but there's always a gigantic possibility that it may
but
be something else.
If it looks clean and dry and clear and dry, it's usually a front for something else. It's just a distractionary technique.
Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff that's like that. And also, I believe that the petitioners out there, I mean, there were thousands. It was rarely covered on the news. I saw a little tidbit on it. I did read a lot on the internet. And BBC had a few things. And I read some local sites, or not local sites is not the word, but I read some sites that are covering it and support it on a site that was the cry for it, which I think we read that site. And there was quite a few people out there supporting that. So it's just one of those things that there was an awareness out there to fight against it. Funny thing is, we've always had awareness about our own rights, some more than others, but the idea of terrorism obviously scared a lot of people to give a lot of those rights away, which was, in some beliefs by some people, a front, which I believe it was a front in some ways for people to do things, and I believe things were done.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, I think that wraps things up for this show.
That's right. Stick a fork in me, I'm done.
Yeah. And there was quite a bit of information there.
Yeah, got a bit of mind fry there.
Oh, really?
Not really.
Okay. You won't admit it.
Well, I think I was already fried beforehand.
Okay.
So now I'm just like
thoroughly baked.
No, more like fried, crispy treat.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is the show. And we will see everyone. For us, it'll be less than 2 weeks, but we'll see everyone at our scheduled time. And if you have any emails, send them in, please. And post the forums and all that goodness. Okay, well, we'll see everyone. Actually, this is your host, Slip Mode, signing out.
This is VR saying, if you run out of deodorant, use fabric softener sheets.
And we'll see everyone with that note in 2 weeks. See you then.
Electronic shock protection.